Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, June 17th. I'm Ray Graff. Summer begins on Saturday, and so, as the solstice approaches, we welcome back News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck to talk about weather. Maybe you want to talk about weather patterns or the jet stream, or perhaps why it rains every weekend. And that is a phenomenon that I fully blame on our guest today, Reed Kisselbeck. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or feel free to email the program with your weather question to voxpop@wamc.org. It's 800-348-2551 on this call-in show, though. Meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck and your weather calls coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Yeah, summer's coming, and we welcome back News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck. Radar Reed is the weekday noon meteorologist for WNYT News Channel 13, and you'll hear him doing weather on this station from time to time. He joined News Channel 13 in July 2019 as the weekend evening meteorologist. Before that, he began his broadcasting career in Utica. A Capital Region native, Reed loves to go to area schools and discuss the intricacies of meteorology. So if you have a question about the weather, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. My usual caveat is that, you know, he's not a climatologist. We have a climate change show coming up in a week or two. So let's keep it to the short-term weather. Reed Kisselbeck is our guest, 800-348-2551. Reed, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me back, as great. Always.
You know, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Does it rain every weekend? And can I blame you? Can I blame you?
As always, when I've been getting this a lot more recently, I go, all complaints go to the chief. He's the one who can control it, not me. You know?
Kiano,
you
know, that's the joke.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right,
you know,
fair enough.
Makes it a little bit easier for me sometimes. But no, yeah, a lot of rain, obviously. Even today at the noon, Chris Honorano was giving me a little bit of a glare because I had a 20% chance for rain on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's more so we have rain coming in overnight right now. The looks of it. There's still plenty of time for that to change, obviously, for that to still happen.
How many weekends in a row did it rain?
So the last dry weekend we've had of no rain or snow has been the weekend of November 16th and 17th of last year.
You're kidding me. All
Not
the way back
kidding.
To November?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't really pay that much attention because on the weekends I don't leave the house and I pull the shades down and
watch
TV.
See, that's nice for you.
Yeah,
then.
So every day is nice.
Yeah.
My wife, on the other hand, likes to go do the garden and work on the garden.
Yeah.
She said, it rains every weekend. And I said, don't worry, I'll take Reed Kisselbeck to task about this.
Yeah.
May was ridiculously rainy, wasn't it?
May was also up there, too. I'll tie on to one more fact on the weekend part of it. Not counting this past weekend, because I haven't done the math for that part just yet, because we have to do all this part ourselves to get these stats here, but 53% of all precipitation, so snow or rain, that has fallen since that weekend has fallen on the weekends.
Wow.
So it's been, it's crazy. More than half of our rain and snow has fallen now on the weekends.
So there's no reason for this other than just chance,
it's
right?
It's just really unfortunate luck. It's just, a lot of it has to do with the setup of what's going on over, the way the jet is set up, it just keeps allowing for these quick hits and quick bursts of rain to come over us and clear on out of here. So May, like you said,
was that
wet
a record?
That one's up there. It's in the top. I want to say in the top five, but it was not number one.
Mm.
We had 7.43 inches of rain. I want to say for the month, and that was 4 inches above the average.
Oof.
So a lot of rain. Days of rain, and you can actually go back and look at this part too, was 24 days we saw rain coming.
Wow.
So, but a lot of that was very light rain. So it's just the nuisance rain. You couldn't get out and do a lot. And then we had, I want to say it was 5 days of some heavier rain that came down in there.
You know, the funny thing is we had so much rain up here. I'm not sure how it was in Queens, but last year the Mets were rained out a bunch of times in the spring.
Yeah.
This year, I don't think they might've been rained out once.
It all depends on where you are.
It's so
how
amazing.
Well it works out on that part of it, yeah.
It's always sunny down in Flushing, Queens, right?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Our guest today is Reed Kisselbeck from News Channel 13, 800-34. I'm going to give the fund drive number like 1,000 times, okay?
That's all right.
We just got done with a 2-week fund drive, and it's a different number. So I'll say the number here, and folks, if I say it wrong, cut me just a wee bit of slack. It's our first show since the fund drive, 1-800-348-2551 if you have a weather question. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Going to get hot, though, this weekend, right?
Getting hot. Feeling more like summer.
How
sure.
hot?
We're looking at the very least upper 80s, but come Monday right now, obviously that's 7 days out at this point, so there's time for that to change, but it's shown at least 90.
Okay, I saw on TV, and they were showing the New York City metro area, and they said, could be 100. Syracuse, 103, and I don't know if that was heat index or not.
That could be a little bit more on the heat index side, because we are having heat and humidity coming in this week, especially after what comes through tomorrow. We'll get the bump in the humidity and the warmer temperatures, so upper 80s.
So, I mean, there's always something to complain about with weather. If you could go, Reed Kiselback, to any market in this country and do the weather, where would you go?
Ooh.
Not saying that Albany Capital Region isn't lovely, but just hypothetically.
If I had to pick.
Yeah.
So I still like to cover all aspects of the weather, so I would like to go to a spot where I can still see that, which would make me think that probably somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic, maybe like Charlotte area or like Raleigh.
That's nice.
Beautiful spots, both spots there, but they get hurricanes, they get snow, they get rain, they get the sunny days.
You are, you're reading my mind. Now, hurricane season is underway now, right? When did it start? Sometime around
June.
Oh, it starts June?
Yep.
Now, I saw that there was a system down Florida way.
Talking about Eric? All right. So
I don't know their names.
There's
that
some
well.
Names going on in the Pacific right now. So right now they're at Tropical Storm Eric, and that's more so along the Yucatan Peninsula.
Okay.
It's not going to really impact us. Hurricane Center doesn't have anything for us just yet to watch just yet. So you might be seeing something that just has some good spin to it right off the Florida coast.
You know, in general, is the end of the hurricane season more active than the beginning? In other words, it goes until what, September, October?
It's more so like October now is what it really feels like it's been ending at. Yeah. It's more active towards the end, yes, and it has to do with just the ocean water heating up. It takes time, as we know, right? It's the same thing when we hit summer. It takes a while for the lakes to warm up to a temperature that you want to actually jump into it.
Yeah.
Same thing with the ocean. You need the ocean to warm up first before you can start to see things fire up a lot more. And so, yeah, you usually get a little bit more active once we hit right around the midpoint, which I want to say is as you head towards like September. September gets some very high totals of storm named storms.
Is it easier, in your estimation, to predict weather patterns on the coast or inland?
Ooh, so that depends on what we have going on, what season it is. I'd say inland.
Oh, really?
Inland can be. It also depends on where you are, because when you're on the shoreline, and say in the wintertime, and you're tracking a nor'easter, usually the coast usually stays warm enough where you have a small little icing band. And again, a slight little change in that can mean a lot more icing on the coast.
Yeah.
Or a lot more snow, depending on where you are. So that one's a little bit more challenging. But then again, too, you're right here, and a slight change of the temperature here means a big difference in snowfall or freezing rain mixing in some spots. So I'd say typically inland is a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Just because you don't have to rely on those factors on the coastline, too, of things a little bit more.
Are the Great Plains a piece of cake?
Great Plains can be a little bit more predictable, for sure, of what's going to happen. Especially, I mean, for us, we're lucky because we're on the East Coast, and all of our systems really like to go west to east overall. So we can just kind of see it advance and
form and move
way ahead of us. If you're on the West Coast, you're a little bit more unlucky in that part of it.
Now, a nor'easter is different, though, right? Nor'easter comes a different...
So nor'easters, a lot of the time, is you get that energy still over the United States, but it'll push out... maybe the Mid-Atlantic, and then move its way up the coastline. So you could still see it and know where it's going to be coming from. It's just a matter of where does it position itself on the coast and how much snow you get.
We're joined today by News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kiselback. If you have a weather question, give us a shout at 800-348-2551. Once that nor'easter is now over the water, does it become more predictable or less predictable?
Once it's over the water, it's a little bit more... I would say I feel like it's not focused on as much once it's out away from the coast, for sure. And,
right.
And you know it's heading out towards Europe areas.
Right.
Because there's a good chance it's going to dry up, it'll break
dissipate. Didn't we have a bit of a nor'easter with that heavy rain we got a week or two ago?
It was in May when we got one of those very, very heavy rain bursts.
Yeah.
It was the setup of a nor'easter. And so if this was, obviously, let's say March even or even February, we would have had a significant amount of snow, but instead we got the rain aspect of it. That's a little bit more on the rare side to see something like that that late into the year for us.
I must say, while I'm annoyed with you about the weekend rain every weekend, I'm very pleased
with
you about the snow.
On that part too.
Are you really?
Yeah.
The snow wasn't bad this year.
Snow wasn't too bad, no. It was below average again, but it was still closer than what we had last year, I'd say.
All right, this question, email question, and then we'll go to a break, and then we'll come back and hit the phones. 800-348-2551. I was thinking about this, too. I was going to ask you, and we might not have time for you to go into the whole thing, sort of the mechanics of tornadoes.
Yeah.
But Carrie writes in, I live in Cambridge, New York. If we get a tornado warning, what do we do? Seriously, go to the basement? How much time do we have if there's an imminent warning?
So, I mean, if there's a warning, typically, if there's a warning in your town, you'll kind of hear the sirens going off from maybe like a volunteer fire station or something like that. They'll have some sort of way of trying to make a sound for you to know your town, you need to go take shelter now. Yes, taking shelter is the smart move to do. There's a lot of great benefits now to just smartphones, and you can pull up a live stream feed of a local news station. So you could do Channel 13, you could do 10, you could do 6, whichever one you watch.
Yeah.
And you can go to that windowless room, take shelter, and watch the stream and see if you're good. If you're good, you can come out. If you're not, you can stay where you are, and you're in the right spot to be, and you're staying up to date on what's currently happening.
What if you have no basement?
So you always go to that windowless room. So I know for myself, I grew up in a raised ranch.
Yeah.
So we had to go to, we had the garage, we had a family room, and then we had like a bathroom, laundry room.
Yeah.
That's where we would go.
Everybody hit out there.
Go there.
Did it happen a lot?
No, we only get the warning maybe. I think I want to say we had the tornado warning once where we actually stood by the door and waited.
That's pretty scary, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's Reed Kisselback from News Channel 13. We talk weather today. We'll get to your calls, more of your emails, et cetera, after this. From the old Manic soundtrack, there's Lalo Schifrin and 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. All right, that's the correct number. I haven't given the fund drive number. By the way, if you pledged in the fund drive, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was, June drives can be a bit of a slog, but it was really successful, and you got us to that 1.25 million point. Beautiful, thank you. Won't pester you about money for a couple of days, all right? 800-348-2551 is the number. News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselback joins us just about the change of every season. And we have summer, what, Saturday?
Summer solstice is on Saturday, yes.
Yeah,
starts at like 10:43 at night. So the first official full day of summer will be Saturday.
Now, the thing is, you have meteorological summer, right? That's
yes.
A different thing, isn't it?
Yes. So it's the easier way to keep stats of how we do it. So meteorological summer is June, July, August. Meteorological fall would be September, October, November. And then you get December, January, February for winter.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's jump to the phones, and we go to Robert in Pittsfield. Robert, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Reed.
Hi.
Hey, my question is, I'm moving to San Diego, and I don't really know their weather background there. I heard it's pretty nice weather. I don't know if climate change is affecting them also.
I think it's been nice a long time, man.
Robert, congrats on the move, man. San Diego is one of those spots where I feel like the weather's always beautiful out there. That's a lot of sunshine out
really?
There.
Yeah.
But it's not that hot, though, days. Right? From what I understand, it's
you don't
like
get
perfect.
A lot of humidity with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of nice sunny days, really good weather. Enjoy it, Robert, on that part for sure.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, well, impact-wise for
I'm
them.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Impact-wise for them, I know a lot of the time, from what I've seen from their meteorologists, you get a lot of, when you have a weather forecast, sometimes when it's quiet, you see a lot of stats.
Yeah.
So, like, they do a lot of stats. When
because
they
it's so nice all
because
the time.
Because it's so nice there all the time. So that'll be good on that part. Yeah.
Hey, Robert.
You think a lot of rain?
You'll have very low rain. You'll have some, for sure. You'll get some rain, for sure. But it's a lot lower in comparison to a lot of spots across the country.
Robert, are you a baseball fan at all? Robert, you a baseball fan?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Keith Hernandez, who's an announcer for the Mets, was a great baseball player. And Ron Darling, who was a pitcher for the Mets, they both have said numerous times that they always loved to go to San Diego because the weather was always spectacular.
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, man. Hey,
yeah.
So listen, don't forget, you can listen to us on the app. I hope you're not a stranger and you call in more often. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's go to Lewis in Colony. Lewis, you're on with News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck.
Hey, how are you? I'm just checking. I've been watching just because I need to be careful with the particulate in the air. What you can say about the predictability of the particulate matter, because it seems it could be great one day, and they say the next day or two are going to be pretty good, and it's horrendous. So it seems like it's difficult to predict.
Air
at least the apps that,
yeah.
that, you know.
Oh, you're using apps. Okay, yeah. So the air quality can have its own challenges for sure. The ones that we like to use is airnow.gov. That's the one that's put out by the government.
Airnow.gov.
Yep.
Okay.
And they'll give you the current conditions, and then they'll also try to give you a forecast for tomorrow and the highest extent for how far that'll go. Yeah, smoke is very challenging because it should be able to clear out, and then sometimes just the wind isn't quite strong enough. And it stays a little bit longer. A lot of the times the challenges comes more so from like Canadian wildfires. That also makes it a little bit more predictable for us too right now because you can follow the actual track of the smoke. So you can say, all right, well, it's here today. We know it's going to be over us tomorrow. And just based off the weather pattern, looks like it'll probably linger into the following day. And we can kind of show that for you on a weather map. And that part's good. But it still has its challenges to it too. A lot of the time for our area, it used to just be due to a temperature inversion. So you have all these particulates kind of close to the ground, and then there's this colder air aloft that kind of just holds it at bay instead of allowing it to go farther up in the atmosphere and clear out. And those ones can become a little bit more challenging to predict because it's so localized in those spots.
Lewis.
Yes.
You got a follow-up there, Daddy-O. You good?
I'm going to follow up on air now. I'm pretty sure I've been on it, so maybe that'll give me a little bit more of an accurate description because I basically have to stay in or wear a mask when it's pretty bad.
I hope that one helps you, Lewis.
Thanks a lot, Lewis. Appreciate the call. You know, you're a youngish fellow, Reed Kisselbeck. I'm an oldish fellow.
No.
And I remember when I was a kid in the 70s, air quality wasn't so great. And I wonder, with the improvement of the air quality, and it has improved over the last 40 years, is that an easier, does it make your job easier?
I feel like we don't have to talk about it as much as a concern
but
for people.
It doesn't affect weather patterns in any way?
I mean, it can have some impacts too, because you have to think about it gives you the particulates that you need sometimes for maybe a little bit more cloud formation in spots. And then eventually, if the atmosphere is a little bit more saturated, it might actually help give us a chance for some more rain. But overall, what it does is it gives us a lot of time. It's just what you see is a lot more just hazy skies.
Oh, sunsets used to be yellowish and very. It was quite a time back then. Things are actually better in some regards. Reed Kisselbeck is our guest today, and all right, here you go. Here comes a wag. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is Steven says, why does Reed give multiple reports for the same weather in the Albany area when they're all substantially identical? I don't know. I think you might be thinking of our radio broadcast, and that's not you.
Oh, if we're talking about the regional part of it, yeah. I mean, it might sound a lot of the same, but there's usually just a fraction of a difference, which I know a lot of people will come up to you, to me, and talk to me about, hey, you give the forecast for Albany. You guys are in the valley. I live at an elevation of 2,000 feet. We're always like 10 degrees colder than you.
Yeah.
And so you try to factor that into the forecast. So if it's the regional forecast aspect like that, I might say Albany highs near 70 today. But when I go to the Adirondacks and the Catskills, highs in the low to mid 60s. It's a little bit more varied based on that extent of it. So you might not notice it because a lot of times it's going to be mostly cloudy skies, mostly sun. Might have the same weather contextually speaking overall, but the temperature still might be a little bit different.
And now, again, my perception might be wrong. And by the way, feel free to call 800-348-2551. But it seems to me that as you go out to the hills, into the Helderbergs outside of Albany, it is a different weather picture. Sometimes we'll get whomped by storms, and my coworker who's up the hill in Voorheesville says, oh, yeah, we didn't have anything. We got nothing.
Welcome to the microclimate world, right? Just a little bit of a difference in elevation and terrain makes a big difference in what we get in some spots. So, too, some of that also has to do with downsloping. So it can come up over the Catskills or the Adirondacks, dries itself out, and so you have a little bit of a dry slot, And then as that air starts to fall and condense again, then you get more snow a little bit farther down the road and away.
So depending on what side of the mountain you're on, you might be good.
Yeah.
On the other side, they're getting slammed.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Reed Kisselback is our guest today. Susie in Clifton Park writes in, does it look like wet weather all summer? You better answer no.
I'm hoping no. But that being said, I know a lot of the time people say, well, it's still raining on the weekends, and I can't control what day the rain comes through.
I think you can. I think you and Cayano can do that.
No, it's just Cayano. I can't.
Really?
Do that. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Neither of us can
Fair
on that
enough.
Part of it.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think a lot of the big parts with this year, because if you look at the rainfall totals for this year in comparison to last year is actually not too far behind from where we are now currently, too. And so I think the big difference from this year and last year is two things. One, a lot of it's been on the weekend.
Right.
And so that's a little bit more noticeable because you actually want to go out and do things.
Yeah.
And then two, in the instance of last year, we had a lot more instances of just heavier, steadier rain. And in the instance of this year, it's been more of the nuisance rain of maybe a tenth of an inch here, maybe 0.05 here, and then half of an inch on another day. And so that starts at, it's more days of rain for sure.
Yeah.
On that side of it.
I have a gardening show coming up, and I got to remind myself to ask that. Those light rains mm-hmm. where you get a tenth of an inch and it's just, you know, trickling down.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's bad. Not bad, but I wonder if it's much better for the plants to get a soaking rain.
Probably depends on what you have. I mean,
yeah.
It probably saves you the time from having to go out with a little watering pail
yeah.
and watering them up
well,
yourself.
I don't do such things.
But yeah,
no,
I don't.
I have a gardener.
That's
yes.
I'd have to ask my wife on those.
I've
ones.
Been married
She's
to her
of
for
a fan
24
to do
years.
Those ones, so I would.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones again. 800-348-2551. News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselback joins us, and let's go to Rensselaer. Richard, you're on.
Hi, Reed. I was wondering if there's an agency that determined Hurricane Irene, how severe a storm it was for northwestern Albany County.
So the agency that, if you're looking, are you looking for more so along the terms of dollars of damage, Richard, or are you going for just how does this compare in comparison to other?
Yeah, was it, would they call it a 100-year storm or a 200-year storm, that sort of thing?
Okay. So that aspect, you might be able to find some of that information through the National Weather Service. On Albany, they have a section for most impactful storms in our region, and Irene is on there. There's some information on that. I can't speak for if it's a 100-year or 200-year storm off
okay.
the top of my head. I'm sorry on that part of it. Also, though, FEMA would probably have some information on that, too, being that they're the agency that usually responds on the ground first thing and starts to kind of make a tally of the damage that's done and what needs to be done in those spots.
Mm-hmm.
Rensselaer County might also even have a list, or Schoharie County might have a list of where that ranked for them too, from their own Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
All right, Richard, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. It is weather today with meteorologist Reed Kisselback from News Channel 13. Nate writes in, what's your opinion on cloud seeding and chemtrails?
Oh, man, I've been getting a lot of those lately.
Really?
And I don't know why that's it. So, I mean, a lot
chemtrails
of chemtrails
are not a thing, though,
it's
right?
It's not a thing, no. It's what the issue that we always get with this is people push back on us because, like, well, it's 80. Like, there's no ice crystals in the sky for you to have a cloud form. It's cold up there. It might look nice up there, but it's cold up there. There's still ice crystals for you to have clouds form and things like that in those spots. That's just really what's happening is you have the warm air from a jet coming out. It's hitting the colder air, and it's just condensing. You get that little streak in the sky. That's it.
So
it's not a chemtrail.
A prop
no
plane will not do this.
To the top. I mean, I'm not an airplane expert on that part.
Okay.
So I'm not 100%
Are you
that.
Sure?
I'm sure no, but I don't know.
Are you sure you're not an airplane expert?
I am not an airplane expert.
Because our next call is about airplanes. Chris in Housatonic. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, Reed, I was looking on my app on my phone, and I noticed that just recently some of the big passenger planes came close to the sound barrier. Are there any type of low pressure systems that will make those jets go that fast?
I mean, I don't think there is a low pressure system that can make a jet go that fast. We do have the jet stream, and I know I think a lot of people can attest to this, right? When we're on flights and the pilot goes, we've got a tailwind. We made it like 40 minutes early because of that. That's kind of your little bit of your boost in speed.
Yeah.
In regards to pushing it close to the sound barrier, I can't really give you an answer on that one. That might just be where you are.
The thing I noticed is when I read this article, they made that from Asia to L.A. in about 3 hours earlier.
Huh.
So they were going close to 1,000 miles an hour.
1,000 miles an hour, eh? Interesting. Well, I don't know. I don't think, Reed, you have the – do you do much flying?
I don't do that much flying, no, on that side of it, but it sounds like we're working into some faster airplanes.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Cool. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Reed Kisselback joins us from News Channel 13, and, you know, you never know what you're going to get here. It's like a box of chocolates here on Vox Pop. David in Cambridge writes, we're a few miles east of the Hudson River. Mm-hmm. Last August, the tail of a hurricane ripped through our area, did significant damage with rain and wind. Years ago, a tornado ripped through Scaticoke, 8 miles south. These storms appear to follow a pattern, heading north-northeast through the Hudson Valley. Is this a trend, and have you seen any evidence of it?
So, again, this goes into how the terrain can kind of help push the weather in a certain direction.
Yeah.
This is something where they've always said, too, if we ever had a hurricane impact New York, and let's just say the eye decided to go right up the Hudson River, we'd be in really bad shape.
Yeah.
Just period. Because the terrain of the Hudson would kind of just keep it focused right up and right through the state itself. So tail of the hurricane touching, it's like it goes along the terrain line and forces itself north-northeast where it's trying to get itself up and over and somewhere flat.
So geography plays a role.
Geography plays a role in keeping things where they are or pushing it in a certain direction sometimes. It's the same reason why they say like the Mohawk Valley can sometimes act as a mini tornado alley because you have the Catskill South and the Adirondacks North kind of forcing the air to go into the Mohawk Valley.
Interesting. Well, you know, what was it, the 1932 when that hurricane decimated Long Island? They called it the Long Island Express.
Yes.
It went straight across the whole thing.
Yeah.
How common is that?
That's not as common. It's a little bit more, well, obviously when we get to hurricane season, we start to see storms starting to come up towards the coastline. Usually for us, the jet stream kind of will save us and kind of act as a force to kind of keep it out at sea. But obviously we know the jet fluctuates at times, so it ebbs and flows. So sometimes if it's ebbing a little bit farther north, it might allow for that part of the hurricane to get just as far south as Long Island and kind of like a sandy situation,
We're joined today by News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselback. Now, this is a weather program, and we'll go back to the calls, 800-348-2551. Let's go to Troy. David, you're on.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions. First of all, why is it then when you do a forecast that is leading up to the time of the weather broadcast and going forward, that it all moves so quickly? It's almost impossible to keep one eye on the time at the way in small numbers, at way at the top of the screen, and the incredibly fast speed of the various fronts moving in, clouds, etc. It's very difficult to do both at the same time. I don't understand why you can't at least slow down the hour-by-hour forecast so it's a little bit easier to read the time and the visual on the screen.
We're going to need to get your director in here next time, too, because I'm not sure.
I mean, really, it's frustrating because you're trying to pay attention, and it's like watching two different televisions.
Oh, man. So, okay. Go ahead.
Just slow it down, that's all.
What do you think?
I appreciate the feedback, David. Part of this reason why it's so fast is because we only get so much time to talk. And so there's a couple aspects that we have to address. And sometimes it goes a little bit longer than we wish it would. And then all of a sudden,
but it can be you often repeat it two or three or four times. Uh-huh. So there's enough time to slow it down.
Well, again, I appreciate the feedback on that, David.
Thanks a lot.
And I'm going to try to answer that question for you the rest of the way through here.
Hang on, David. Let me finish this part of the question first. Radar. All right. Here you go.
So,
sorry. Go ahead.
I know. I was like, I want to answer your question first, and I'll take your follow up. I promise you on this.
No,
part.
You won't.
So what I'm saying.
But go ahead.
We have pause points that we set ourselves. It's always right around the commute. It's right around lunchtime. And it's usually around dinner. Sometimes if you have evening plans, we'll pause it again at 9 o'clock. And so those are your times. 7 a.m., noon, 4, 6:30, 9 o'clock. Occasionally we put a different pause point in there. if you need to know when exactly storms are moving in.
All right, David, I do have to take a break here. So I'm not cutting you off because it's not like 60 minutes and we're not trying to hammer read that much, but I will follow up on the way back out of the break. 800-348-2551. And let me tell you something. He's burning mad right now. We're going to let him cool down and then we'll be back. J.J. Johnson there on the trombone. Yesterday's the old Kern classic. 800-348-2551. Meteorologist Reed Kisselback joins us today from News Channel 13. All right, getting back to Dave's point just for a minute. Wouldn't it be great if the producer or the director said, okay, Reed, you know what? We're slowing it down now. Mm-hmm. We're giving you 12 minutes.
I mean, 12 minutes is a lot of time.
How many minutes do you have?
I mean, so it varies on the shows. If you're in the morning show, because Christina's on so much, her hits are usually shorter. So
right.
I think for a full forecast where you would see that hour-by-hour forecast, she has, I think, 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
2 minutes, 30 seconds.
I have 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
3 minutes, 30 seconds.
Paul has 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
The chief meteorologist gets the same amount of time as everybody else?
He goes a little bit longer usually because he's Paul, and he likes to go talk a little bit longer.
Right.
And then night side, that can range anywhere from around 3 minutes to 3:30, depending on the show you're in.
That's not a lot of time.
It's not a lot of time.
You guys cover a lot of ground, like we do. There's a big area to cover.
And that's the other part, too. If you give us more time, then you're starting to miss out on some important things happening in the community.
Well, maybe the newscast should be 3 hours and 1 hour just to the weather. What do you think?
We'll see. We'll see where that takes us. Yeah.
Fair enough. You know, but Dave's point is apt. I mean, there's a lot of data.
It's a fair point. I hope he doesn't think I was mad at him. I just wanted to answer his question.
I thought you were mad at me. Yeah, it's fine. But you know what? You can't tell with these TV people because they're so calm under pressure. You can never say, well, maybe he's just laughing. 800-348-2551. Speaking of irritated people, Ashley writes in, you didn't answer the question about cloud seeding. I'm also very curious about it.
Oh, I missed that part.
We got into the chemtrails and didn't go that far. So you know a little about this, right?
A little bit. Again, that's not necessarily my area of expertise.
It goes
I know
way
that
back.
There's it does go back, and there's a lot of studies of people try to kind of like put the particles in the sky that's needed to generate the formation of clouds.
Yeah.
Essentially, a lot of the thought behind it was, to my knowledge at least, with my scope of understanding is you try to do this in the spot where maybe they're going through a drought because you want to try to generate some rain and things like that. It doesn't always necessarily work the way you need it to.
Right.
And so I know that some people try to do it, but I know that that's not really something that gets done in our area.
I know that this goes back at least to the 50s and probably before that. And I know the Chinese still do it. And I forget what particles they put up there.
It's just like fine dust particulates. You just need something for condensation to occur on. So you need a nuclei or something like that to get that condensation.
All right, getting back to my question about the air quality in the 70s.
Okay.
Wouldn't some of these particulates from the smoke and the pollution that was so prevalent in those days, wouldn't that allow the crystals to form?
That would be some of the ingredients that you just need the moisture there to help you get it to kind of verify and get its way through. So, yeah.
Interesting. 800-348-2551. That's the number to call. Let's go to Doug in Saratoga Lake. Doug, you're on.
Gentlemen, thanks very much for the interesting and the very informative session here. At the risk of your cutting me off.
Oh, boy.
Weather is what it is. And we are at a point now where some of the experts, including at our own SUNY Albany, where they do offer a PhD, that we are beyond a tipping point with global warming. I know you're going to want to cut me off.
No, it's okay. But be succinct. Go ahead and make your point.
I'll be very succinct.
All right.
If we don't start providing the data in more detail about global warming, we are beyond the tipping point. That's what the experts are saying. And that's weather.
Well,
so
you're right.
I'd like to know what you guys think about
all
that.
All right. So let me just make a comment quickly, Doug, and then I'll let Reed weigh in on that. There are other venues to get this information, including WAMC, where you hear it a lot. And But the other thing is, again, this goes back to time. I mean, you have Reed has 3 minutes, and he's got to cover weather that's going to happen today for people who are driving, having weddings, having golf outings, doing things like that. And how are you going to do the global pattern and analysis of that in 3 minutes?
You can't. There's something that complex. Doug, I totally agree with you. I think climate change is a very important topic that needs to be discussed more. It also just, it does. It goes back onto the time. And something that complex that has that much data takes a lot of time to explain, because we want to say it in a way where a lot of people are going to understand it. And it's a lot of the time what it can come across as, for my lack of a better term, of what it comes across as, is essentially a data dump. I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you. Yeah, yeah. I can't really show you a cool graphic that can explain it really well, and you can kind of see it click a little bit more. And so that's the other challenge behind it too, because you don't want to kind of sit there and throw these numbers up there and just have people look at it and go, I don't understand it. I need more time to do that. I know a lot of stations have discussions about how we can try to talk about it a little bit more. And so, I mean, those discussions are occurring. We're just not quite at the point where they found a solution that works just yet, even for myself.
But like Doug's not wrong.
Doug, you're not wrong at all, and I appreciate the question.
800-348-2551. Reed Kisselback joins us today. Let's go to Jim in Belchertown. Hello, Jim. You're on.
Yeah, how you doing? To change the subject a little bit about the lake effect snow in New York. We're Western Mass out here. I've done snow removal, like, part-time almost since I had my driver's license, and I'm 69 years old. But the lake effect snow last year, I'm looking on the local news, and they're talking about 200 inches of snow on the ground in New York, here, there. So I told my wife, pack a bag. We're going to take a ride. We'll stay over. I want to see 200 inches of snow. We went up there to the town that was, it was just, it was probably 25 miles north of the New York Thruway out by Syracuse, and I can't remember the name of the town. But we got up there, and it was the day after the snow had fallen, and it was like they got to be using a different yardstick because you couldn't find 200 inches of snow to save your life. And I'm like, is it – and I had also looked on, like, the – you know, the National Weather Service gives a snowfall cover for New England, and it showed it, you know, it was purple or whatever color, but it was just like, do they sensationalize it or what? I mean,
I think, Jim, what might have gotten you caught on that one is that might have been 221 inches of snow for the season. And so it might not still be on the ground at that point. Some of that probably melted pretty quick and got away. And when you look at the map, you see the purple on there. That could also be, if you're looking for a snow cover map, that's probably in spots where you have over a foot of snow or over 2 feet of snow in those spots. That might have been what gets you. I know the average snowfall for, like, Syracuse area is around 220 inches. So that I feel like that might have been what caught you there, based off that.
Though.
But no, I'm right there with you. 220 inches of snow would be awesome.
That would be
a lot of snow.
Jim, my mom used to live up north in the sticks, north of Syracuse, up Cato Meridian way, and they got dumped with snow. They got pounded, but I don't think I ever saw 200 inches.
But when we went up the day before, they had supposedly gotten 50 inches in places. And like I says, I know snowfall totals. I mean, around here, if we get a 100-inch year snowfall for the year, it's been probably, 20 years since then. I used to plow a lot of snow up on Westover Air Force Base, and you might as well just park all the big equipment. It's like you can get away with a one-ton truck. I mean, it's like everything is just parked now, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just, I mean, it was a fun overnight. We went out to eat. We had a good time, but I just went home and I was like, geez, you know, where's the 200 inches?
I don't know. Keep traveling north, man. I mean, just go up to the pole.
Yeah. I know. The lake effect stuff is challenging because it can be so narrow that you can see that report in one town and the next town over. It's like, you know, you said, you know this stuff. So, yeah, it's tough to find. Even going on a little scavenger hunt for it sometimes can pose its challenges. So.
Jim, thanks a lot.
I'm glad you have fun doing it.
Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. That's our number. Let's see. That's a very long email from Bob. I don't think I have time for this. Let's go to Pat in Canaan, New York, who says, On my occasional travels in a plane, I look down on clouds from above. Sometimes they're flat for hundreds of miles, sometimes very fluffy. Reason for the difference? Air pressure, wind, other, all of the above?
Different types of clouds is what you got there. I actually really like doing that part two on the planes. My wife gets annoyed with me because I'll elbow her while she's trying to take a nap. I'm like, look at these clouds over here. They're pretty cool. So, yeah, the flat ones for miles that are kind of like a blanket, those are stratus clouds.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can have them as they can be called like cumulostratus, so a little bit of poofy to them, but they're still relatively flat. Big, fluffy clouds, cumulus clouds, really cool to see. Sometimes you can, if you are aware of the weather pattern from where you're flying over to another spot, you can start to see like cumulonimbus clouds billowing a little bit. They're not quite at that stage of a thunderstorm, but you can start to see them go up, and that's pretty cool to see.
There used to be a weather guy around here before there were real meteorologists on TV back in the day, and there was a guy on one of the local channels, I think maybe was six, and he was always talking about the friendly cumulus clouds.
They are the friendly clouds.
They're so friendly.
Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Brian's in Saratoga Springs. Brian!
Hey, Reed. Hey, Ray.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I got a question. I was wondering if you could tell me what the terms are, the two terms El Nino and La Nina mean?
Good question, Brian. We get those a lot. Basically, what it is, it has to do with what's going on with the currents in the ocean, the circulation with them, out in the Pacific Ocean. But what that does is it brings a different kind of impact for us over the coastal United States. And so for, I want to say El Nino brings us a wetter summer and a warmer one. And in a La Nina, you get drier but colder.
Where are we now?
Right now, we're kind of in flux between two different versions of Brazil.
So no weather at all.
It's kind of, no, not quite at that point, but it's kind of deciding where if it wants to stay La Nina or if it goes back to an El Nino.
Ah.
And this instance,
So El Nino is wetter, and La Nina is drier?
Yes.
In general, though, right?
In general, yes. Okay. So for us, our area is, quite frankly, the worst for this because
really?
You say this, and everyone's like, well, then where is it? We're right over where the jet stream goes, and like we mentioned, so like over the course of a winter, let's just say it's over New York State, but sometimes it might push a little bit farther north, and so southern New York might now have the abilities to get impacted and have maybe more so the warmer side and a little bit more dry, and then you push a little bit farther south, and you get more of the wet conditions. So we're kind of right on that line. It's a really good indicator, though, for how the weather's going to shape up on the West Coast, so specifically like California in particular. They'll know what exactly they're getting.
And this isn't a thing in the Atlantic. There's nothing analogous to that?
It'd be probably more so, I'm not sure what the name would be for the Atlantic on side of it, but
it, just call it Frank
have,
and
yeah,
Sally.
They would have their terminology for it out in Europe for what it would mean for them.
All right. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot for that one. This email from Marion in Wilbraham. I've been looking for a resource tracking because I feel that the humidity as well as the temperature has been going up through the years, but I can't find a resource that gives humidity readings everywhere. The weather will sometimes do it on a very hot day, but I feel that the weather report should include humidity always, since most days we're having increased humidity as well as increased temperature. Am I wrong about that pattern? It just seems frequent to have increased humidity these days, and that's from Marion.
Humidity, it can vary, again, based on just what kind of weather patterns we had lately. If you're trying to track it for yourself, if you want to do your own journal log, you can do that and look at the National Weather Service climate report every day, and it'll tell you what the humidity was. Dew point's the good indicator, though, if you want to know if it's going to be muggy or oppressively humid or along the lines of that. You can also try and use the Iowa State Mesonet site. They have a good climatological stats area.
Iowa State, okay.
Yep. And you can look that up and try to figure out if they have a plot for humidity. That, depending on your location, could go all the way back into the 1800s, and you can kind of see how far that trend has changed.
All right, here. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's jump back on the phones here. News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselback joins us here with summer approaching this weekend, officially anyway. Let's go to Ethan in Great Barrington. Ethan, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on. I just caught the end of that conversation you were having about the jet stream and someone's traveling about 1,000 miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Cool. Kind of off topic a little bit.
I just wanted to make it.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, quick comment about that. That's just based on ground speed. So, you know, you can... have a tailwind of 200 miles an hour, and if you're flying at 600 miles an hour, you're flying at 800 miles an hour across the ground.
Gotcha. Very interesting.
So my main question was actually based on something that I heard a long time ago that I couldn't get out of my head, and it's about the weather forecast for rain percentage-wise. Is that percentage of probability or percentage of area coverage?
So here's the way that I like to describe it, and I think it might clear it up for a lot of people. So if we put a 20% chance for rain, I will view it as this way. There is a 100% chance that there will be rain in 20% of our viewing area.
But
so it's
much?
Definitely going to rain.
A drop?
But it's going to be 20% of our area. No, so that part you'd have to watch the forecast for, because we could show you the rainfall for all those things. But
yeah,
when we give the percentages, it's more so for what area is going to have it a little bit more.
So it's, if it's
so
for
there's
Ethan,
definitely going
there's
to be
a 20%
rain.
Chance, depending on where you are, Ethan, there's going to be rain in that area.
Not necessarily. So like if you look at the Albany area, we have 14 counties. I'm telling you there's 100% rain for 20% of that area. So
right,
somebody's going to see rain. You might not in your spot, but if not, majority of the area won't see the rain.
So theoretically, Ethan, if you ran around all the areas, then you definitely would
you
be 100%
definitely encounter
chance.
It. Chances are, though, most of you, if not everybody, will be able to get through the entire day without seeing any of that rain.
Wonderful. Now I'm confused. Ethan, thanks a lot for the call. News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck. Usually my head doesn't explode during these shows. Kathy, childless cat lady in Clintondale, writes in. 1980, we moved from Albany area to Syracuse for me to study for my PhD at Syracuse University. First thing we learned, every night it would snow until Lake Ontario froze over. At that time, Syracuse got the most snow in New York. But after that, the snow in Buffalo was greater coming off of Lake Erie.
Yeah, so it can vary based off the season and which way the winds are going, yes. But lake effect always happens until the lakes freeze over. So we've been talking a lot about lake effect happening a little bit more frequently. It's been warmer in the wintertime, so the lakes haven't been freezing over. We've been seeing the totals get up a lot. It's either the three spots I hear about are Buffalo, Syracuse, or Watertown.
All right.
The higher totals.
Watertown, man.
Yeah.
That's the tundra up there. All right, very quickly, and we don't have a lot of time here left. We only have 15 seconds, so we'll open up this Pandora's box.
Great.
Andrew and Reinbeck, what role might AI play in the future of weather predictions?
I think it's going to help improve forecasting abilities for sure. I think it might help enhance what we use for the weather models and the calculations used behind it. It's still yet to be seen. There's a lot of studies going into it on what it can do for us here. So
it's always garbage in, garbage out. Hey, man.
If it's raining on the weekends, you know it.
All right. So Reed Kisselbeck, you're a good sport here. When can we see you next on the television?
You can see me tomorrow live at noon on News Channel 13. Chances are you'll also probably see me around during the 4, 5, and 6 o'clock news, and now out live in the First Morning Weather Lab.
You have to go out early in the morning?
No. 4, 5, and 6 at night.
The
afternoon.
I was
going to
say, what? You need a better agent, man. So this is okay. Hey, Reed, great. We'll see you, fall, autumn time?
You got it. I'll
All right, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Support comes from Fadigan's Nursery, Latham, New York, featuring flowering planters, annuals, perennials, vegetable and herb starts, organic soils, over 100 years of gardening experience, family-owned and operated, Fadigans.com. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, celebrating 27 years, specializing in distinctive eyewear, European styling, and prescription and non-prescription sunglasses, eye exams by appointment, IdentityEyewearAlbany.com. And Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design with cabinets from Wellborn and Merillat and quartz countertops from Cambria, American-made products sold locally, CurtisLumber.com. Once again, thanks to News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck. Make sure you watch him tomorrow at noon. And, he'll be back again soon as autumn approaches. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. You didn't forget how to do the show. I almost forgot how to do the show. Thanks to Ed Rosen, who screened the calls and was also here many days during the fun drive answering the phones. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Home Maintenance and Improvement with Darren Tracy. We'll see you at 2 p.m.